Good evening. It's good to be here tonight, and thank John for leading the songs that he led. A month or so ago, Jamie spoke, it's probably been 2 months ago, about the scapegoat from the Law of Moses. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, Israel was to take two goats, one to be offered to the Lord as a sin offering, the other to be the scapegoat. All the sins of Israel were put on the scapegoat. Then it was sent out on its own into the wilderness. And so Jamie spoke about the similarities between the scapegoat and the atonement that we have available through us, to us through Christ. And after that, hearing that sermon, I got to thinking about the similarities between redemption in the Old Testament and redemption through Christ. So that's what the lesson is about tonight. And if you didn't catch on, John's songs were all about redemption. So, while Israel was in captivity in Egypt, God promised them that he would redeem them. If you want to turn over to Exodus chapter 6. And we'll read the first 9 verses. Exodus chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land.' And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel from the Egyptians, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord.' So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. But they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage." So God told Moses that he would rescue them from their bondage and redeem them with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And we generally think of redemption as paying a price so someone could be released or freed. What were the Israelites being freed from? They were being freed from slavery. What price did God pay so that Israel could be freed from slavery? To answer that, we'll go back to Genesis. Verses 3 and 4 of Exodus chapter 6, He talks about appearing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promises that he made to them. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 15. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. It says, "Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them from 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they will come out with great possessions.'" So we see that God, when he was giving promises to Abram, he told him about the great nation that would come out of him. And then he told them that his descendants would be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and that they will serve the people of the land, and that those people would afflict them for 400 years. And then God also told him back in Exodus that he would judge the nation that would, in Genesis and Exodus, that he would judge the nation that would keep them captive. We know that God worked through Moses, bringing 10 plagues against Egypt, leading the Pharaoh to set Israel free. And they were redeemed by God as he had promised. He promised Abraham that they would be freed through his judgment. As a result of the Israelites' firstborn males not being killed during the 10th plague, like the Egyptians' firstborn males were killed during that plague, the firstborn males of Israel, both man and animals, were to be gods. The firstborn males of animals were to be sacrificed, but the firstborn males of man, God redeemed. Let's turn back to Exodus, and we'll be in chapter 13 this time. Exodus chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 11. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of the donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And if we look in Leviticus and Numbers, we can read of how they were to be redeemed through sacrifice of animals or payments to the Levites. Let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 25. And we'll read starting in verse 47. It says, now if a sojourner or stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your brethren who dwells by him becomes poor, and sells him to the stranger or sojourner close to you, or to the member of the stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him. So, if an Israelite were to be so poor and that they sold themselves to someone that is a stranger or a sojourner, that one of their brothers could redeem them. We see in the New Testament that Jesus is our brother. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll just read verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call those being sanctified his brethren. And we see in verse 1 where it says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. That those he was talking about being sanctified are those that take heed for what they've heard and don't drift away. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. Says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we read that those who love God and are called according to his purpose are brethren to the firstborn, who is Christ. So under Christ, we see the firstborn redeeming rather than being redeemed. And Christ was also the price paid for our redemption. And if we continue in Romans chapter 8 and 30, verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." So just as God redeemed Israel by bringing them out of bondage of Egypt, and like a brother could redeem one who had sold themselves into slavery to a foreigner, Jesus redeems us, has redeemed us. Those who are willing to submit themselves to him have been brought out of the bond of sin. We see this stated in different ways in several places in the New Testament. Let's back up to Romans chapter 3. And we'll start reading in verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." So we see Christians are justified by God's grace through the redemption of Christ. God provided a sacrifice for us. Through Christ's sacrifice, we are redeemed. What are we being redeemed from? And we read in verse 23, all have sinned. Not only have we sinned, but we are also in bondage to it until we are redeemed. So let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse 15. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So the path to righteousness is through Jesus' sacrifice. Christ was offered by God as a sacrifice for our sin, but his blood does not remove our sin unless we follow him. And we have several passages that I want to look at. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and starting in verse 13. Chapter 2. That's why it doesn't make sense. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the fountain of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So we are to be obedient and holy in all our conduct, remembering who has redeemed us. We are not redeemed by corruptible things. You know, if you think back to the old law where of animal sacrifices and money being paid for redemption, but by Christ, who was without sin. We are to rest our hope fully on God's grace, which brought redemption through Christ. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll start reading in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will..." I think I'm going to stop there. So Jesus tells his followers to take up their cross and denying themselves. Christ's sacrifice does not provide redemption without our own sacrifice. Following him is more than stating that you believe in him. It requires that we follow him. What did he do? He allowed himself to be sacrificed for our sins and did everything God expected leading up to that sacrifice. He was obedient to God. Now, let's turn back to the Romans chapter 6. This time we'll start in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." In following Christ, we must sacrifice ourselves. In baptism, we are to die the death that he died, for us to have the resurrection that he had, and going to heaven to be with God. We must give up the life of sin and walk a new life without sin. We see in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, Paul proclaiming that he has done that. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and starting in verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." God's grace teaches us how we are to live, denying worldly lust, living soberly, righteously, and godly. Also looking for Christ appearing while living as his people who are zealous for good works. Now we're going to turn to Hosea. I'm laughing at myself because I marked it in my other Bible. Hosea chapter 13. And starting in verse 1, so when Ephraim spoke, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended through Baal worship, he died. Now they sin more and more, and have made for themselves molded images, idols of their silver, according to their skill. All of it is the work of craftsmen. They say of them, "Let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves." Therefore they shall be like the morning cloud and like the early dew that passes away, like chaff blown off from a threshing floor and like smoke from a chimney. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore they forgot me. So I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage. And there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. Is from me. I will be your king. Where is any other that he may save you in all your cities and your judges to whom you said, give me a king and princes? I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The sorrow of a woman in childbirth shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long where children are born. So we read here about sin and of the descendants of Ephraim and about God despising their sin. And if we continue on in verse 14, it says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes." So we see the punishment that God was intending for Ephraim, but then in verse 14 he says that he's going to ransom them from the grave, from the power of the grave, and redeem them from death. So I think that is a prophecy of Christ in his coming and in the redemption of him. through him. And we see a similar discussion in the New Testament, discussing how mankind throughout time understood God existed, but ignored him and his desire for God's desire for their obedience. And Paul describes the reward for those who are obedient and the wrath God would exercise on those who aren't. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Being free is valuable, and it is something we need to guard. As in the case with Israel being pursued by the Egyptian army after being freed, Christians are pursued by Satan to bring them back into slavery of sin. Let's go back to 1 Peter, this time chapter 5. Starting in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, yes, all of you, to be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Satan is pursuing us. We have comfort knowing God through Christ will provide us eternal glory, in which he will perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and settle us in being those who follow him in obedience. That's the lesson. We now offer an invitation to anyone who is ready to take the steps to follow Jesus. If you've heard his word, believe it, and are ready to repent and confess that he is the Son of God and be baptized, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.